Welcome to the Barely Superman podcast, a conversational podcast where I talk to you about things that matter to me today. And today's a bit different. Today I am going to be talking about Pokemon and Pokemon Go. And with that, I'm also going to be doing something a little bit different with the content that I'm producing. So I'm also going to be providing a supplementary video to accompany this audio piece. So if you do want to go watch the video, it's your prerogative. Right now, I am actually live streaming that video, and what I'll do is, once I finish live streaming, I'll take the audio portion out of that, and then I will put that into my podcast service so that you may listen to it from iTunes or Google Play or Spotify or whatever. Actually, Spotify is not there yet. One day it'll be coming. But yeah, so any podcast service of your choice so that you may listen to this at your own time. I don't know how long I'm going to go for, but the general structure is I'm going to be talking about Pokemon Go. I'm going to be talking about Pokemon in general, and then this is a fun little activity. I'm going to go through the first 150 Pokemon and talk about like the hidden naming conventions and maybe little puns that exist for that Pokemon, and maybe just little kind of secrets about those Pokemon. So let's do this. Alright, okay, so I'm gonna activate the video, and as you know, when I activate the video, we go into a realm of infinite possibilities. LGI, let's get it, let's go. Alright, so, what are Pokemon? Pokemon is a combination of two words, pocket and monsters. These are creatures that were developed by a company called Game Freak. Now, Game Freak was founded in 1989 and had developed games before that, before Pokemon, but it was only up to 1996 where they gained critical and mass success, mainly in Japan, because Game Freak and Nintendo at the time weren't sure that the concept of Pokemon would actually scale in a global perspective, especially in an American market, because RPGs were not really RPGs were not really found in America. Not JRPGs, Japanese role playing games, is what that stands for. They found that it was JRPGs tend to be the concept was very confusing to Americans, so they were very hesitant about porting that game over. But they found that because of the sheer adorableness of the monsters, it was worthwhile trying to push it to America. So they went on a crazy marketing campaign, and then they essentially created a mascot so that it was a more palatable game, and that mascot became Pikachu, because Pikachu was instantly a fan favorite, and they didn't really expect Pokemon to blow up in the way it did. And what is so fascinating about Pokemon is originally there was 150 Pokemon, 151 if you count the hidden Pokemon, which I'll come to at some point in this video. So there were 150 known Pokemon, and in the game, you were a young boy named Red, who had a rival named Blue, which meant that you had to kind of buy two games to get sort of exclusive Pokemon from each. And the idea was you had to try to catch them all. That was the marketing slogan. You had to catch them all. There's 150. You have to catch them all. And it was, and not to kind of sully what Pokemon is, but Pokemon really is baby's first JRPG. It's a very simplistic rock paper scissors style RPG game mechanic where you fight your Pokemon based on the type they are. So the first three Pokemon that you can choose from, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle, were respectively grass, fire, and water. So in the rock paper scissors mentality, fire is strong against grass. Grass is strong against water because, you know, you water your plants. Water is weak against fire. And I think that's it. That's all the matchups. Wait, and yeah, water is weak against fire. Fire is strong against grass. Yeah, I think that should be it. So that was the main kind of introduction to the kind of rock paper scissors, and the idea was you are this young boy. Originally, you can change your genders, but you were this young boy setting out to adventure to try to complete the Pokédex. So you start off the Pokédex with the first Pokémon that you've captured, and you continue on to try to get the 150. Little did we know back then that there was actually 151 Pokémon, and each Pokécatch. So the way it works is the game was all the Pokémon entries were silhouetted. If you saw them, and or just had a number allocated to them, and once you caught that Pokemon, then you would fill that entry. So the idea of just collecting all of the Pokemon was so alluring, and it was so fantastic, and it caught on like wildfire. And just because of that mechanic, and just how they marketed the game, and also the supplementary material coming from the anime, so that there was always content to keep people knowing about what Pokemon is. That was the perfect storm for the ultimate JRPG on the Game Boy, which is where the game originally came into the Game Boy. It was pocket monsters that you could put in your pocket and take it wherever with you. And the most fantastic thing about Pokemon was you could trade your Pokemon. You could physically, with back then it was infrared. If you had a Game Boy Color, but I think back then, like, it was probably a link cable, where you can meet up with your friends, you can exchange your battle stories, your war wounds, and then if they had a Pokemon you wanted, and you had a Pokemon they wanted, and you had different games, it was just like, you can just trade. You can just say, have my Bulbasaur, I'll have your Charmander, I made a mistake. And that social aspect of Pokemon is really why this series has kept on thriving. So, with recent developments, a company called Niantic, not to be affiliated with the Pokemon company or Nintendo, created a game called Pokemon Go. So, Pokemon Go is a game that is effectively co-owned by Niantic. The assets are owned by the Pokemon company, and the game was developed by Niantic, which means that most people just assume that Nintendo owns this game, but they really don't. They just have, Nintendo has shares in the Pokemon company, but Nintendo doesn't actually own Pokemon. So that's where the hullabaloo, and the funniest thing about this knowledge is when Pokemon Go came out, stocks skyrocketed to it was something akin to 18 billion yen. Right, yes. So it added 7.5 billion yen, 7.5 billion dollars, which is around 18 billion yen if my math is correct, to Nintendo stock, which is the highest any company has ever achieved in Japan. But a few weeks later, when investors realized that Nintendo didn't actually own Pokemon and Pokemon Go subsequently, they the Nintendo stock actually plummeted quite a bit. And then, yeah, that's just a funny tidbit So Pokemon Go came out and took the world by storm because it was the perfect blend of it came out at the perfect time, 20 years after the original Pokemon, and nostalgia was hot. The first trailer was amazing. It showcased this idea that most people playing Pokemon were waiting for, the idea that the Pokemon would be in the real world. Now that in itself is such an alluring prospect that it was hard for anyone who loved the series or anyone who was new to the series to not want to check out. And this app blew up. I mean, it went crazy. Everyone downloaded it. It was the top app on every app store, and It's the fire still burns, and that is not a Team Valor reference, but I'll come to the Team Valor part in a bit. But it was so big at the time that there was no one who wasn't covering it. But has that changed? And the answer really is yes. Not as many people are playing the game because of the way it's designed, and it's sad to say that the game is not really that. It's not really a game because the Pokemon that you do catch in the real world are, there's an oversaturation of a few Pokemon. So in London, you're more likely to find there's an overabundance of Pidgeys, Rattatas, Drowsies, Sparrows. I mean, these are Pokemon that are so common to the point where they flood your sightings list, and nothing new ever comes up. So the idea of trying to catch them all for someone who isn't a hardcore fan, that immediately drops off when you look at your map and there's nothing new, and you're essentially left there to think, what am I doing wrong? The other problem with the map is the way you find the Pokemon. It's not really a good system in trying to find the Pokemon, and I really will get into all of this. Okay, the best way, just before I go into the negativity, let's talk about the positives. Let's talk about the positives. Of Pogo, as I like to call it. So I'm gonna jump into the app. So if you're watching the video, you can actually see what I'm doing. Right now, I'm just booting up the Niantic, the Niantic Labs app, the Pokemon app, and with the recent update, is every time you open the app, it will tell you, don't go into dangerous areas while playing Pokemon Go. This is really for the lawyers. It's for legal reasons. They put this so that they can say that they did their best to warn the players into not doing literally stupid things that I consider common sense. But yeah, let's do it. So once you've clicked that way, the way it works is, I'm going to walk you through the menu. So you have, on the left hand side is your profile and information about yourself, your level, your username. In the middle, you have the Pokeball, which is in itself a menu item. And then on the right hand side, you have the Pokemon near you. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to start with the one on the right hand side. So the way it works is, there's one in beta, we'll talk about that in a bit, and there's what we have now, the sightings. Originally, there was the indication of how you found the Pokemon was, there were steps according to where the Pokemon were. So the list was organized in closest to far, and each was allocated with a step. So if it's really near you, which is about it's 50 meters. Yeah, when it's 50 meters, it would have one step. If it's 100 meters, it would be two steps, and if it's 150 meters, it would be a three-step Pokemon. However, it doesn't indicate the direction you have to go in that radius to find that particular Pokemon. So it could be 50 meters north, south, east, west, or any permutation of that in that radius. So that system was, originally, it was a good kind of Marco Polo way of trying to get the Pokemon, but it was also very inefficient. But that system worked so much better than what happened next. So the popularity of Pokemon Go, they try to update and keep it as streamlined as possible, and by doing that, they actually broke the application, and every Pokemon thereafter was showing that it was three steps away. So there was no actual way to find the Pokemon that you needed at any given time. So It became difficult and frustrating, which led to the second resurgence of this app, which was the post tracker revolution. And by that I mean there were websites that were dedicated to actually helping users find the Pokemon they needed. The biggest example of this was PokeVision. The way PokeVision worked was it took the map, it took the Niantic's API, and then they superimposed the Pokemon onto Google Maps essentially, and it gave users direct access to where the Pokemon were. Now, there's always questions about whether this is cheating or not. So, the idea of giving users a unique advantage of finding the Pokemon that they wouldn't have ever found, or they wouldn't have found outside the game telling them where the Pokemon is a concept that is seen as cheating. However, the way the game works is it never actually pinpoints to any new Pokemon, so theoretically, you can go about your day, play Pokemon Go the quote unquote fair way, and never actually catch the Pokemon that was near you because the map system is so broken. And that was my life when I was playing Pokemon Go for a month, because the Pokemon that come up on my list are always going to be the regulars, because these are so common and so frequent that it doesn't update the map. Pokemon Go doesn't do a good job of trying to figure out what Pokemon are actually rare and then effectively placing them on your map so that you know that there isn't rare Pokemon nearby. So you can effectively play this game for months and never actually truly gain the 150 Pokemon. Even more so, you can never actually gain a high level or even stronger Pokemon. You will just get the basics. This is especially true if you live in a rural area. So if you look, if you on the map, there is a little cube in the distance. That is what is called a Pokestop. A Pokestop is where you can go and replenish your items and get new items. You get new items, you can effectively get experience for every swipe that you do. And for me, I am fortunate enough to have one in my area, but that if you look around the map, you'll see there's one, two, because these are two football grounds, but there is effectively nothing else that's close by. I have to walk quite a bit to actually use this. And the worst part is, I can't use the Pokestops in the way that you would use them in a city. So the other cool thing about Pokestops is you can drop this thing called a lure module, and a lure module is effectively an item that entices Pokemon to come to that area. The problem is with my area, because I only have the basic Pokemon, I never really spawn any of the rare Pokemon. So even dropping down a lure module, that doesn't yield much. And it's not an item where you can really replenish on a Pokestop. You have to either level up to a certain level to get one a lure module, or you have to use real world cash to get a lure module so that you can effectively try to keep up with everyone else who's living in the city. Problem with this is people that live in rural areas, they will never really have that much fun playing this game because of just the sparsity of the Pokemon and the fact that you can't actually ever really have a good time, except using this game as a glorified pedometer, really enjoy this game because you're not seeing any new Pokemon. It can be argued that you can actually go to battle in gyms and gain coins that way, but you can't, because of the sparsity of the Pokemon and because of the distribution of the teams, and the teams I'll come into in a second, you really can't even hold down multiple gyms because they're so far and wide, and because there's so many people concentrated to defending and battling for those gyms, you can never really hold one down. And people that have gone searching elsewhere have a distinct advantage, because if you don't venture outside your, like for me, my county, I can never even take a gym, hold a gym, or even really do enough damage to a gym to even be of real assistance, which absolutely sucks. So, with that being said, what I'll try to do is, right, here we go, let's see, nope, nothing. Okay, so, the teams, there are three teams, red, blue, and yellow. Red is known as Team Valor. Oh, I was spacing out there for a second. Red is Team Valor, and they're represented by the Pokemon Moltres. I should have really done it in order. Blue is Mystic, and they are represented by the Pokemon Articuno. And Instinct is represented by Moltres. Oh, actually, maybe it's a good thing I did it in that order, because then the fun stuff that I do later might not come up. So, you effectively pick your team, and the team that you pick will dictate which gyms you take over. And a gym is effectively a common area where you can place your Pokemon and have a battle with the opposing team to claim that area as turf for your team. And the distribution at the moment is largely Mystic. So Mystic has the largest chunk, mainly because it's blue, it was in the center, there's a lot of psychology that goes around it. So Mystic is the largest team, Red or Valor is the second largest team, and Instinct is the smallest distribution of the team. And Mystic has had a resurgence recently. As you can see, the gym that's nearby on my map has a Victory Bell, which is impressive, a level 26 Victory Bell, and it's being held by one person, which means there's only one person that was able to plug in their Pokemon, because Instinct, there's not that many Instinct people around. So that's that aspect of that. We've got the gym battling and doing all of that. When you defeat a gym and you put your you can put your Pokemon there to hold that gym down and defend it. And when you do that, you can actually put in, when you put in your Pokemon, you can claim a coin, and you get 10 coin, 10 coin currency, Pokemon Go money terms, towards buying something from their shop. So effectively, if you claim a gym every day for 7 days, you have 70 coins. If you claim it for eight days, that's 80 coins. And from that, you can actually buy something, which is, I think you can buy a lucky egg, and you can buy a, let me have a look, the shop. So yeah, you can buy incense and a lucky egg at 80. And I think those are the lowest items that you can purchase. Is it great? No. Because you can theoretically earn more money by holding down gyms for longer. But it's so unlikely, unless you're Mystic, that you can actually do that, because there's so many Mystic players. And they have a higher percentage of actually getting more stronger Pokemon to hold down gyms. So unless you're Mystic, it's highly unlikely that you'll be holding down more than even two gyms. But even holding down two gyms is not enough to warrant another coin. You have to hold down 10. And as far as I know, I have not met anyone that's been able to hold down 10 gyms, especially in rural areas. And with that, I mean, that is effectively Pokemon Go in a nutshell. I was hoping that a Rattata would spawn nearby so I can show you how you capture it. Unless I move around, I might actually have to move around for a little bit just to try to capture that Pokemon. To show you how it works. But apart from that, here's some general tips about Pokemon Go. That because the game doesn't give you a lot of information, in fact, any information whatsoever, these are just my general tips about playing Pokemon Go, and I have to be really successful in trying to complete the Pokedex and having stronger Pokemon. Tip number one, hunt in a pack. If you hunt alone, because of the nature of the sightings list and the nearby list, you do not know which direction the Pokemon will be in. So if you hunt in a pack, you can effectively split up and then go in all four directions and see whether the Pokemon disappears off of your map or not. And when it does, you call over your friends to come to where you are, and then you can all collectively catch the same Pokemon. Because Pokemon spawn for around 15 minutes, but realistically it's 10 minutes before they disappear. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is turn off AR. AR is augmented reality. The idea of showing your Pokemon in the real world, that is mainly so that it's easier to capture them, and also it saves on battery life. So turn off AR for maximizing on that. Turn off audio as well. Audio will help you. If you turn the audio off, it will help you sustain a lot more battery power than you do if you have audio on. So if you go into the settings, which is at the top right corner after you press the Pokeball, you can turn off the sound, the music and the sound effects, which is what I'll do right now. You can keep sound effects, but again, you're just effectively wasting battery for no reason. Another tip that is at the same menu is turn on battery saver. Now, battery saver isn't effectively going to do much, except for when you turn your phone upside down, it turns the screen black, and this saves battery because the screen is not constantly on. That is all battery saver really does, so I highly recommend it. If you're a type of person who likes to just, for me, the way I play is I put the phone in my pocket, when the phone vibrates, I take it out, I catch the Pokemon, and I continue walking, and I use this as I said earlier, a glorified pedometer. So that's tip number, I think, four. That's my fourth tip. Number five, use raspberries. Raspberries can be found in the items page. And these are effectively to use to make the Pokemon comfortable so that you can catch them. I don't know. It's the same concept of using a bait in hunting, I guess. They will help you catch your Pokemon. Some Pokemon have higher fleeing rates than others, which means that they are more likely to run away from you when you're trying to catch them. But still, when you think you found a Pokemon that you really want, use the raspberries. So I think that was number five. Number six. You know what, I'm gonna switch it a bit more. All right, Stardust. I'm gonna use that. I'm not gonna number them because I'm gonna lose track. So what is Stardust? And I'll go through my squad in a bit. Stardust is something that you accumulate when you catch Pokemon, and this is what is used to power up that Pokemon. With that, you also have candy, which I didn't talk about earlier. Candy is such a really cannibalistic way of playing this game, but with each Pokemon capture, you get three candies, and then you get a fourth candy for transferring that Pokemon back to the professor and to the lab for quote-unquote research. Then you can use the candies that you have to either power up your Pokemon or evolve the Pokemon, and each Pokemon has different amount of candies that you need to, one, power it up, and two, evolve it. That being said, there's also Stardust. So Stardust is allocated to powering up. With each Pokemon, there's a different allocation, and I'm gonna just jump down to, like, for example, the lowest Pokemon I have, one of the lowest. Let's see, Weeping Bell. Yeah. So Weeping Bell, as compared to Gyarados, has you need two candies with 22,000 rather than three candies and I think 3,000 with the previous one to power it up. And there is a meter at the top right under the CP. CP is combat points. The meter will fill up. When it fills up, you have to level up before you can try to fill it up again. So the advice is, don't power up your Pokemon till you're higher level. And I know that kind of sucks, but my advice is really level 15 onwards. You can do it at level 10, but you're really actually just wasting Stardust, because each new catch will be more powerful the higher level you go. Some people say wait till level 20, but then there's no point of just like existing in this world and never doing a gym battle until you get to level 20. So if you feel that you need to do it, I really strongly recommend at the very least 15, maybe 10, but I mean 10 just to power up one Pokemon, but not multiple. So yeah, that's my advice. I'm gonna leave Weeping Bell up there because yes. Okay. Oh my god, I'm such a nerd. Lucky egg. You get a lucky egg, and I'll give you the full details on when you get certain items. A lucky egg is an item that is found in Pokemon to allow you to get double points. So each, and let me give you the point breakdown right now. So 500 XP when you capture a new Pokemon or evolve. So double that if you're using lucky egg. 200 XP if you hatch a Pokemon, 150 if you defend a gym, 100 XP if you catch a Pokemon, 100 XP also allocated when you have an excellent throw or battling a trainer, and 50 XP if you beat a Pokemon in a training gym, visit a Pokestop, and then 10 XP allocated to nice capture and a curveball. The captures are effectively when you see the Pokemon, and it sucks that I'm not on the other side of the room so that I can actually spawn one. I might actually have to do that. But effectively, the idea is when you catch the Pokemon, it will have a ring around it, and the smaller the ring, the more XP you get. And then a curveball is when you throw a really fancy throw to that. You know, let me try this. Let's do this. What I'll try is, I'll turn off the video for a second. I'll be right back. Stop presenting. Let me try to spawn this Pokemon. I'll be right back. Fine. Incense. So the way it works is, Incense works like a lure module, but unlike a lure module which attracts Pokemon for everyone, which is a community-based item, Incense works for you and you alone. So the Pokemon that you attract to you will only be available to you. So that's the main difference. But the other difference is, unlike a lure module where you have to go to a Pokestop to drop it down, with Incense you can apply it to your character and you can effectively pull Pokemon to you. And the way it works is, after every 5 minutes it generates a new Pokemon, unless you are actively moving. So if you're moving, you're effectively pushing your scent out to more Pokemon, and you attract more Pokemon with that. So that's how that works. So yeah, the advice is use Incense when you're moving. I talked about gyms earlier, battling gyms and defending gyms. The idea and the recommendation is battle in teams. The more people you battle with, the the more damage you do to that gym. So when you have two people battling, it'll show both of you attacking the same gym leaders at the same time. So the best way to do it is you both attack at the same time, so that you effectively share the workload and reduce the amount of damage that you actually receive yourself. The other thing is defending a gym. So the difference between defending a gym and actually claiming a gym is, when you're defending a gym, you actually just use one Pokemon to level up your gym. The more you level up your gym, the higher the prestige. The higher the prestige, the more Pokemon you can have to it. The advice is, don't discard your lower CP Pokemon. Keep your lower CP Pokemon so you can get a higher XP bonus. If you use your high CP Pokemon to level up your gym, you are not benefiting that gym in any way, shape, or form. You have to use a lower CP Pokemon so that prestige goes up much higher. That is the advice. Do that. And when you're battling, the advice is dodge twice right at the beginning, because every Pokemon attacks twice right at the beginning. And a key way to figure out how to dodge is there's going to be a yellow flash, and then you can dodge. That is true for everything. Each Pokemon really attacks every 2 seconds. You just have to know the battle animation for that Pokemon. And there are a few... I've put a few sites in the description to help you actually find out that kind of information for yourself. So Trainer Tips. Trainer Tips is a great YouTube channel. Link is also in the description. That has a lot of information about Pokemon Go. So if you're really, really into trying to better yourself, like becoming better at the game, Trainer Tips is a great way to do that. The other channel that I have is More Ali A. Now Ali A, I found him by accident. It was recommended to me on YouTube. But Ali A is primarily the reason I am motivated to catch Pokemon. Because when you, for me personally, when I see someone who's doing significantly better than I am, I'm like, I can do that too. I can achieve this. And he is so positive and so happy most of the time that it's just so fun to watch someone having fun doing something that you kind of want to do the same thing. So yeah, that is my recommendation for YouTube channels. Go to watch More Ali A, subscribe to the channel, like the videos, comment on the videos, just have a good time. It's a great channel. You should be paying some respect. Eh? Come to the mafia, come to my house, you got a better respect. With Ali A, let's go back to the Pokemon, nothing's spawned up. And the other tip to help you find Pokemon, especially if you're in a rural area, is download Niantic Labs' previous app, Ingress. So let's do that. Let's go into Ingress. Let me show you why you should get this game. Ingress is the foundation for Pokemon Go. So all the data spawns, all of the capture rates, all of the Pokemon spawns are dictated mostly by Ingress. And the way Ingress works, let me just turn that off. The way you can use Ingress to help you out in catching Pokemon is you use the light spheres in Ingress. As you can see, the Pokemon I wanted to spawn was nearby, and that is where the Rattata is. So where the light, on screen there are a few light bulbs, light auras or whatever, and those are the light auras where the Pokemon is likely to exist. So if you're ever having problems finding Pokemon, just jump on Ingress, look at the light sources, and then go to that area and see, and reopen a Pokemon Go to see if you can find it. And yeah, for me, these are the areas that I can effectively find Pokemon. And yeah, get Ingress. That is my advice if you're really having a tough time finding the Pokemon on maps. Alright, let's go. Cool. So those are my tips for playing Pokemon Go. And with that, I'm gonna go for the just a few more, just a little bit more information. Knowledge can't hurt, yeah? So, at level 20, the eggs that you hatch, the variant for that egg, the highest level variant stops. So when you're level 20, doesn't matter if you're 21 or 29 or 40 or 39 or 32, weird order, but the eggs that you hatch, the maximum CP that you can get from those eggs is capped off because you've reached the highest point you can hatch from an egg. At level 30, the Pokemon variant stops as well. So the highest level Pokemon that you can catch stops at level 30. So whether you're 30, 32, 38, or 39, or even 40, the higher level Pokemon CP level stops going up. And finally, just so that you can realize how much of a grind getting to 40 is, to get to level 40, from 39 to 40, you need 5 million XP. Now, let's just look at the... In my lifetime, and I've been playing this for a month, I've garnered 475,988 XP. That's like a month and a bit playing this game. 5 million XP, that's insane. Good lord. Yeah, I started on the 14th. This game's insane. Yeah. So, now I'm going to talk about changes in Pokemon Go that I really like to see. First, is the badges that you get. So you have different badges for different items. For example, if you walked 100 kilometers, you get a badge for that. Or if you caught 108 Pokemon, or no, if you caught 50 Pokemon, 25 or 100, you get badges for that. And the badges are actually really meaningless. The ideal situation would be you get rewarded for each badge that you achieve, so that you actually strive to achieve it. Whether that be in Stardust or a coin, like a single coin rather than a batch of 10. Even 10 coins would be great, because then you would actually want to get these badges, because otherwise these badges are meaningless. They have no value for the game. They just exist just for the sake of knowing that you've done something. Such a stupid thing to have with no rewards. The other thing is just how you find the Pokemon. This is such a dumb system. There's no indication, there's a compass at the top. Why isn't there a link to that compass in the sighting? Why isn't there like an indication of, okay, this Pokemon is north of you, or south of you, west, east, right? So that you can go in the right direction rather than spending valuable minutes of your life just wandering, going up and down the same road trying to figure out whether the Pokemon exists there or not. That is how you kill your fan base. Niantic fixed that. They've added a new feature which is called Nearby, which, let's see if I can find it. Pokemon Go Nearby. Go to images. Nope. Sightings. Nope. That's not what I want. Nearby, here we go. View image. So the way the new nearby thing works, and it's being beta tested in California? San Francisco, the way it works is, it shows you exactly where that Pokemon is on the map, but it only works for Pokemon that are near a Pokestop. Now, effectively, they have implemented Pokevision after taking them down. This sucks. especially if you're not in a city. Because if you're not in a city where there's Pokestops everywhere, then this feature is useless to you, and you're back to the crappy sighting system that doesn't actually yield anything. God, Niantic, man. Man, like I said, cannot wait to get to that. Sorry about that. To the maximum number you can get for the country. I think I'll have a ceremonious live stream where I delete the app. Because the app is so stupid. But it's so fun to play with other people. And just like the stories that you garner. So, oh my god, I'm dying. I shouldn't have gone outside. Pokemon Go is killing me. Oh yeah. Yeah, so that's the new sightings. So, effectively just apply the same thing to sightings so that you can have an indication or just... Oh, you know what, let's Google. There's probably someone who's implemented what I'm thinking about. Pokemon Go Radar. Nope, that's not what I want. No. I don't think I can find one. Nope. No one has it. Oh, it's a shame. But yeah, my idea would be, each Pokemon would have effectively the compass, around it, and then it would, as you walk, the compass would be allocated to each Pokemon so that you know in which direction you need to walk. That is personally the best version of that implementation. Because it would still have the, oh, it's in that direction, it's that general direction. It doesn't tell you exactly where it is, but you also know that, oh, I'm going in the right direction, rather than spending hours just walking up and down and never finding it, and then getting frustrated that you never found the thing that you wanted, and then leaving the app forever in the dust, in the corners of the depths of hell, where this tracking system belongs. Right. Feels good to vent out my frustrations. But that pretty much is Pokemon in a nutshell. Now, I'm going to go back to the app, show you some shortcuts. So, if you have from the Pokeball, you can press and hold it and swipe in the direction. So, if you press and hold and swipe right, it will go straight in the items menu. Why is this a fun thing and a cool thing to have? When you've taken over a gym, and people try to put Pokemon into that gym, some people, I like to call lurkers, wait for you to take out that gym, then they put their own Pokemon in there. Then you have to do it all over again, these lurkers like Wagamama 123 that took over our gym after we spent a good 5 minutes trying to take down that gym, and then she just, oh, Wagamama 123, I'll never forget your face. I'll never forget your face with your cute ass white dress, and there's a special place in hell waiting for you. Yeah, so you can swipe in the direction. So if you swipe right, you go into the items. You swipe left, you go into your Pokemon. If you swipe up just slightly, you go into the shop. And if you swipe right all the way up to the Pokedex, you go into the Pokedex. If you press the button and press hold on the item, if you press and hold, you can see that it highlights them. That's all that means. It's just tracking your finger movement, and you can see in the background that my finger's actually being tracked. It's very faint. It's a white ball that's following my finger around. So that's how you effectively go into the Pokemon. And since I'm done really talking about Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go is really, it's an interesting app, it's an interesting concept, but it's not been delivered in a way that's substantial for a game that's supposed to last for a long time. But they are doing, I guess, the best they can And what I wanted to do next was I wanted to go through the first 150 Pokemon. Please be aware, Mr. Mime? What? Are you kidding me? Alright, this is an interesting development right now. I might need to actually go outside again. The things I do for this. I might have to do a Mr. Mime live capture, let's see. Alright, I'm going out. Wish me luck. I'll be right back. I'm trying to catch this. So you can catch it live. Here we go. I'm gonna do it. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Right, I'm back. I'm gonna do desktop, start screen share, infinite possibilities. Alright. I'm not gonna go out for Mr. Mime because Pharaoh is close by. That's good enough. That is good enough. So most people click on the Pokeball and then, no, don't catch it. I hope it doesn't catch it. Oh no. Yes. Okay, they click on the Pokeball and it ran. No. I didn't even get to Oh, that's so bad. How dare you run? How dare you run? But yeah, that's how you catch the Pokemon. How dare you run? But yes, so if you go back to Ingress, so the Pokemon spawned right there. And if you go back to Ingress, you can see in that area around me, is where a Pokemon is likely to spawn. But it's usually Rattata's, Pidgeys, and whatever nonsense that you decide to give me that day. Mr. Mime. Okay. That is a rare sighting. I'm gonna screenshot that. Why did I screenshot it? I'm doing a live stream. What is wrong with me? Yeah, let's go with that. At least I showed you how the capturing works. Oh, good lord. Let's go through the Pokemon. Okay, so the first one we have is Bulbasaur. So mine I called... I'm keeping to the first 150 theme of giving them names that have a... effectively pun or like something witty about them. So the original Pokemon is called Bulbasaur, and mine's called Boba Fett, as in Bulb... Boba Fett from Star Wars. Second one is Ivysaur, but I called it mine Poison Ivy for obvious reasons. It's a poison type, and Poison Ivy is a poisonous plant, and it's a grass Pokemon, so Poison Ivy kind of was the best name for it. Let's go down the first one, Bulbasaur. Alright, Bulbasaur, the Japanese name is Fushigidane. Do not know what that means. It's written in katakana, so it's written in katakana, so it's not a Japanese word, so it means like it's a blending of two words. So let's have a look at why it's called Fushigidane. Alright. Obviously, the Bulbasaur is a combination of bulb and saur, as in ancient for lizard, or, you know, like dinosaur. Fushigidane literally means, isn't it strange? And is also a pun on Fushigidane, which is a mysterious bulb, which is very interesting. Did not know that. Right, cool, that was Bulbasaur. Let's have a look at the next one, Ivysaur. Right, Ivysaur, Fushigiso, let's have a look. Ah, what did I just do? Right, let's have a look. Why is it called Ivysaur? So, the name is a combination of ivy, wood, as in the plant, and saur as in lizard, again, for the English version. Fushigiso can be taken to mean it seems strange. So isn't it strange, and then it seems strange, and then Fushigiso is like strange grass is the if or it's the other alternative when you look at the kanji. Kanji being the Chinese characters in Japanese. That's interesting. So isn't it strange? Is it strange? And Venusaur is a Pokemon that I don't have, which is the final evolution of Bulbasaur. And it's Fushigibana. That's awesome. Fushigibana. So, Venus, as in the Venus flytrap, is why it's called it, because of its opening plant on its back looking like a Venus flytrap. Or venom. It could be because it's a poison type, and then obviously Saur, as in lizard, Greek for lizard, and Fushigibana is a pun on Fushigi no Hana, Hana being a flower, so a strange flower. So is it strange? Isn't it strange? Ooh, it's a strange flower. That's cool, because you don't know what's. That's awesome. That's actually pretty. That's pretty lit. Let's go to the next. No. Okay, I'll load the page again. Charmander, let's do it. Charmander. Hitokage. Alright, if I'm gonna read, like, my basic, Hito means human, Kage means shadow. That is my basic knowledge. Let's see if I'm any, but Hitokage, I don't know what that would be in Japanese. Like, is that a word in itself? Oh, I read a Hitokage, right? Like, he, okay, he is fire, and Tokage is lizard. Hitokage is a salamander. Huh, okay, alright. Char, as in to burn, and then salamander, it's a burning salamander, effectively. That's the English version means. Alright, let's do the next one. Charmeleon, obviously, chameleon and a charmeleon, and like a charring million. And, oh, they just have, the Japanese name is just Lizardo. Why did I say like Italian, like Lizardo, not Lizardo, Lizardo, which is literally, it just literally means lizard. It's an English way of saying lizard. Yeah, Lizardo is a transliteration of the English word lizard. Alright, cool. That's awesome. Lizardo. Okay. Charizardo. Lizardon. Okay, I did not expect that. Eliza. Alright. As in, Char and Lizard is really the reason why it's called Charizard. But, let's have a look at the Japanese. Charizard is a portmanteau. That's the word I was looking for. Portmanteau of the words Char, to burn, and Lizard. Lizardon is Lizard and Dragon. Oh, okay. That's actually pretty clever. Squirtle. It's a squirting turtle that squirts. Zenigame is the Japanese name for Squirtle. Let's have a look at the origin. So Squirtle is a combination of squirt to spray on small child, or turtle for its turtle-like appearance. Zenigame is a Japanese word for baby pond turtle. Zeni is also an old-fashioned word for money, and Squirtle's shells look like old coins. So that's how they got their name. That's interesting. So let's go back to how I named mine. So my Charmander is called Blazit, because like when I got it, it was 420, and obviously with the fire tail, and when I powered it up, it became 436. But yeah, I should have just left it as 420, and it would have been so awesome. But yeah, I accidentally pressed power up, and I lost my candies, and I was like, no. But yeah, that's why I called it Blazit. Fire tail, self-explanatory, it's got a fire tail. Fire tail is also, what was it? There was a character called Fire Tail, and then, like, just the demeanor of, and the attitude of this Pokemon, it just reminded me of that character, so I called it Fire Trail. So, I call my Squirtle Blue Koopa, because, Koopas, as you might know, are the enemies in Super Mario, the effect, the, like, turtle things. And even Bowser is a Koopa. He's King Koopa. So I call this Blue Koopa, because shout out to Mario and Nintendo. Let's go down to the next one. Just Mr. Mime's still on my list. I cannot believe it. Look at it. Here we go. Sparrow, come back again. All right. Before we go back, so curveball. Let me show you the ways of the force. The idea is to spin it. So if you spin it anti-clockwise, you're supposed to throw it this direction. If you spin it clockwise, you throw it in that direction. Most people spin it from the middle and then throw it, but because it's a curveball, it might overshoot. What you want to do is spin it in one of the corners. So if you're going to spin it to the right, spin it anti-clockwise and then throw it to the side, as you saw with that amazing flick of that wrist. I'm gonna raspberry it up a little bit to show you what the raspberry does as well. So it's a 338 Pokemon, and the ring is now orange. So if it's a green ring, it means that you're gonna catch it easily. If it's orange ring, it's gonna be a harder catch. If it's red, good luck. God damn it! I accidentally let go. Let it go. Oh, how is that not great? How is that not great? But it's okay. It's okay. One. Ooh. So when it gets feisty like this, you gotta raspberry it up. Just give it a little bit of raspberry. And when you go to high levels, you have different Pokeballs. You have Pokeball, which is a regular one, a Great Ball, and an Ultra Ball. There's no way in hell I'm using an Ultra Ball for this. I'm gonna use a Great Ball. And alright, here we go. One. Ooh, this is a feisty one. This is a feisty one. Alright, here we go. Let's do it. Okay. Alright, here we go. Do I have this? Let's go, I got it. That free shake. You got it. Got it. Yeah, and you get that extra 10 XP for that Pokeball. If you get the nice, you get 10 extra XP. If you get great, you get... Did I say 15? Is it 15? And then excellent is 100. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. And because it's Pharaoh, Mr. Mime's still on that list? What is up today? Oh, full of clowns up in here. Myself included. Alright, back to the list. Where did we get up to? Alright, Wartortle. Obviously, he look like, for me, reasoning for me is like, He looks like the Greek god, like Hermes. He's a messenger to the gods, and also he looks like the old helmets that had the whole, not Viking, but the ones that had like horns. So like it looks like a war helmet, and yeah, he's war ready. So that's why I'd think War Turtle. It's called War Turtle, and obviously because he's a Tortle. Yeah. War Turtle is war warrior, tortoise, and turtle. Japanese name is wait, that can't be his Japanese name. Kameiru. Okay, let's have a look. Why is he called Kameiru? Kame is turtle, obviously. Kamehameha. Combination of tail. Kame and tail. It's also corruption of Kameiru, which is to be able to bite. Interesting. Very interesting. Cool. My war turtle is called, I think, Turtle of War. That's mine. Like, it's such a beast. Yeah. Okay. And then you got Blastoise. The final evolution. Look at that beast. Kamex. Kamex. Yeah. Alright, let's have a look. Why is it comics? Are we comic, obviously? Oh, it could be like a mech. Maybe. Oh, that'd be awesome. Like, it looks like he's wearing a mech suit. Maybe that's the reason. You know, these are just, Blaster is a combination of Blast and Tortoise. Blastoise. Or Tortoise, if you say it, like, the scientific way. And then Kamek's Kamek and Maximum. Possibly Maximum. Yeah, but mech. I like to think it's mech. It's awesome. I don't have a Blastoise. Caterpie. Yeah, I can't remember what I originally named my Caterpie. Right now it's called Caterpie. As in, it's a caterpillar. But I'm actually interested in the Japanese name for it. Oh, Caterpie. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is literally self-explanatory. It's a corruption of the word caterpillar. Metapod. As in, it's going to through metamorphosis, and it goes into a pod, so metapod. I think that's my reasoning behind that. Turanseru. Turanseru. Metapod is a combination of metamorphosis, exactly, and pod, as in chrysalis. Transit appears to be a combination of transform and cell or shell. Okay. Decent. Decent. It's like a butterfree. Is it because it's free from its shell? From its cocoon? It's the same butterfree, Japanese and English. Let's have a look at the reasoning. Oh, for anyone who's not watching the video, I'm using Bulbapedia for this information. Butterfree is a combination of butterfly and free, possibly referring to its ability to fly after being grounded for two evolutionary stages. Furu means to flap your wings, so it might be derived from that as well. Furi, furu, furi. Beetle. What did I call my butterfree? I think I called it butterfreed, as in freed from its cocoon shell. You got Weedle. Weedle in Japanese is beetle. I don't know why I said that in German. It's beetle. Weedle is a combination of worm and needle because of the needle horn that it has on its head. It could be also a corruption of weevil. Another sort of bug. So beetle is a combination of bee and needle, but again, I see why the localization team at Treehouse Nintendo did that. So Kakuna is the cocoon version of Weedle, the next evolution. In Japanese, it's called. Let's scroll down, and it is called. Yeah, it's Kakuna in Japanese, Japanese, in Japanese as well. Cool, Kakuna, corruption of cocoon, self-explanatory there. My Kakuna, let me just drop it down. Kakuna Matata, Kakuna Matata. Ooh, that's probably my re-delivery. Alright, I'm gonna go get that. God damn it. There we go, Kakuna Matata. Let me fix the mic, because it's falling down. Oh, good lord. Alright, Kakuna. Beedrill, because he has drills on his arms. Spear. Spear. Is the Japanese. Isn't spear. 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 Yeah, B drill is B and drill, because it needle arms and drills. Spear is refers to its stingers. The reverse is apis, and it's a genus of honeybee. Very clever Japanese. Very clever. God damn it. Uh-huh. Okay, Pidgey is a corruption of pigeon, or a combination with the word budgie, a type of bird, or chickadee, also another type, or pudgy, because of its plump physique. Popo refers to the onomatopoeia that a pigeon's popo. And that might sound weird, but like, I guarantee you, onomatopoeia of animals in different countries changes. Like there was a crow in Japan when I was there that sounded like a laughing old man. It's the weirdest thing, how different animals are affected by the environment. Okay, so you got Pidgey, my boy Pidgey, the evolution, which always confused me, Pidgeotto. Pidgeotto. Oh, in Japanese, it's just called pigeon. Swear down. That is awesome. Pidgeotto is a combination, a corruption of pigeon and dicotto, which is Italian for 18, which is the level of which Pidgey evolves at, which is why it's called Pidgeotto. Okay. Okay. All right. Otto Lilienthal, a pioneer in unpowered heavier than air flight. Like, pigeon is literally pigeon in Japanese. Oh my god. Thanks for that tidbit. And the final evolution is Pidgeot. That always breaks me. It should be Pidgey, Pidgey, or Pidgeotto, but whatever. Yeah, Japanese Pidgeot as well, so there's no change there. Despite its name, its appearance and behavior do not resemble a pigeon so much as bird of prey. So, particularly eagle, osprey, or falcon, in particular shiny, blah, 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 blah. So, Pidgeot and Pidgeot are combinations of pigeon and jet. I would not have guessed that one. I was hoping for something more fleshed out. Ratata or Ratata. Oh, in Japanese, Korata. Alright, we're learning stuff today. Korata. Ratata may be a combination of rat and attack. Ratata. The prototype name was Ratatak. It's also an incorporation of onomatopoeia of Ratatat. Korata is a combination of ko, as in child, and rata. Raticate's Japanese name. So it's a child rat. Ta. It's a child raticate. Okay. Very clever. So far, for some of the Japanese ones, I'm preferring those explanations and puns. Rata, obviously, as I said, raticate is the final evolution of ratata. Gratata. Ratata. Actually, yeah. What did I call my ratata? My ratata is gratata. Let me change that now. It was gratata before, but before I evolved it. There we go. Gratata. And then, a vine, a famous vine of a guy in front of his mirror, like, with a semi-automatic, he's like, that fufu lame shit, I done with it, I took a shot at your fitty. Gratata. Swag, bitch. That is the line that was used in that vine, so that's why I call it gratata. Yeah, gratata, and then the raticate, I called it eradicate. Let me show you. Eradicate. Yas! Oh my god, that video is so in my head. Eradicate seems to commit rat and eradicate. Oh, that's what I call that, man. Eradicate. Cool. Or masticate as into tube based on its teeth. Rata is derived from rat into Japanese version of that name. Ooh, we're doing well. We're number 20. Sparrow. Oni Suzume. Suzume. I think Suzume is like hawk. No, that's Taka is hawk. Suzume. I think that's fuck. I don't know. Sparrow. I would call it spear arrow. Spear arrow. I don't know. Sparrow is a. Oh my god, it's a spear and a sparrow. Ah, Oni Suzume is a combination of Oni, demon, Suzume, sparrow. I knew it was a bird. But I couldn't remember which one it was. And obviously, sparrow is a type of bird. Jack, sparrow. And then pharaoh, as in fear, inducing pharaoh. Onidri, as in because it has a drill beak as its attack. As in, pharaoh. Let's see. All right. So the English name pharaoh, the final evolution of pharaoh, is fear and sparrow, which correlates with what I have. And then the onidril is oni and dril. The four syllables can be taken to mean onidori, which is demon bird. Okay. For me, I did spear arrow for my sparrow, and I used a homonym for pharaoh to pharaoh, which is it's a homonym, so that's why I use. Yep, that's the reasoning for that. And then now I'm gonna do ekans or ekans, as some people like to say. In Japanese, it's called arbo. I keep rolling my R's. Abo. It's because I see the English version and then I use it. Yeah, I'm going to just read the Japanese from now on. Because they're all in katakana, so I can actually read it. Abo. As in, shortened for Arbok, maybe. But ekans is actually snakes spelt backwards. Ekan snake spelled backwards. And Abo in Japanese, it's A and then B-O, and then that's backwards, it's a boa. Boa is a boa constrictor, the type of snake. Very clever, both of you. Very clever. Pokemon. Alright, mine's called Jay. Member of Team Rocket is Jesse. But I'm gonna call my Arbok the final evolution of Ekans. Jesse. So I left this one as Jay. Because we all know Jay is Beast Snakes. What up? I threw some shade. What's up? Come at me. Yeah, Arbok is a corruption and backwards spelling of cobra. What up? Arbok is definitely the Japanese version name. Cobra spelled backwards, with a K instead of a C. Additionally, Arbok relates to the pre-evolution Arbo, which is a boa constrictor. Arbo. Pikachu. Right, Pika means light. In Japanese, and Chu is a type of rodent, if I remember my Japanese correctly. So it's the same. Pikachu is the same Japanese and English. Pikachu is a Pika Pika, which is an onomatopoeia of sparkling, diffraction of light, blah 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 blah. Well, Pika 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 no Mi, like in One Piece. And then Chu Chu is the sound of squeaking. Yeah, it's which is why you have Choo Choo Rocket, the video game. This is how I learned my Japanese. Raichu, as in light. I'm just guessing at this point, but let's see. What's the Bulbapedia say? It's company with Rai, as in thunder. Okay. I have a deeper respect for Raichu now. Okay, that is awesome. Did my Safari just freeze? God damn it. All right, what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stop the presentation for a little bit, mute the audio so I can have a look. Jesus. Oh, this is gonna be a long episode. I can feel it. All right, let's have a look. Let's have a look. It's going down. I'm yelling timber. Okay, I fixed it. We're back. Going through the 150 Pokemon. Infinite possibilities and all that. Oh no, I didn't mean to do that. Start screen share. Present to everyone. Cool. Alright. Next Pokemon, Sandshrew. I mean, Sando is the Japanese word for it. Sandshrew is a combination of sand and shrew, obviously, and then Sando is simply just sand in Japanese. The English version of sand. Japanese written in English to, yeah, whatever. Sampan, 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 or Sandpan, and then Sand Slash in the English version. Okay, Sand Slash is a combination of sand and slash, obviously referring to its long claws, and Sampan is a combination of sand and pangolin. Now, what on earth is a pangolin? It's probably a marsupial. Pangolin? Did I get that? Alright, Mar. How do you spell marsupial? Mar. Oh my god, I. How do you spell marsupial? I've forgotten. Marsupial. Yeah, I was spelling it right. So it's not marsupial. It is a. It's in the chordate. Taxonomy. That does not help me at all. It's in the same class as Andy, so whatever. It's not marsupial. What are anteaters? Okay, cool. That's a thing that I just learned. Nidoran. So Nidoran was the first in the 152 exclusively have male and female differentiation. So you have the male form and a female form. The first two Nidoran are called Nidoran both for male and female, but differentiated by the male and female symbol. I'm talking about the Nidoran female at the moment, which is a more bluer in nature. Nidoran. Nidoran may be derived from needle. It may also come from Sinnotide. Sid. Sin. Snidocyte, a type of venomous cell responsible for the stings delivered to stinging animals, most notably jellyfish. Oh yeah, yes. Alternatively, ni is two in Japanese. I think the kanji, yeah, it's this, the kanji, yeah, for two. Nido is two times or 2 degrees, referring to the distinct evolutionary lines for the Nidoran, as in it goes from both male, there has a male evolution line and a female evolution line. And also Japanese word of furan is orchid. Orchids are flowers that are purple or blue, depending on which kind of orchid you have, which kind of also goes into the Nidoran female and male gender respectively. That is very poetic, Japan. Very poetic. So I'm not going to do the male version of Nidoran, because they're the same. Nidorina. Here we go. Nidorina and recombination Nido, rhinoceros. Same thing with the Nido side, and then Nido mean two. That's pretty cool. That's the female version. And then you have Nido Queen. Did I miss a Pokemon? Pikachu. Did I miss a Pikachu? Oh, I missed my Pikachu. Okay. And my sand. Nido Queen. Obviously, because it's the final evolution. Queen. Needle and Queen. Obviously, self-explanatory. And then for the male is Nidoran, Nidorino. Nidorino being the O is like Italian, like when you have. I think so. We can have a look. Things that ended O. In Italian. Oh, no, it was Spanish. It's Spanish. As in, yeah, words ending with O usually indicate that it's a male and it's male in gender. So that one, I think I knew that one. So my Pikachu is called Fluffy, as in from Gabriel Iglesias. They call him Pikachu, so my Pikachu is homage to my boy Gabriel Iglesias. My Sandshrew is Sahara, because of Sahara Desert, and it's a desert Pokemon. Oh, V. Oh my god, did I delete the other one? So, I think I called it originally. Oh, what did I name them originally? Oh yes, so this one was supposed to be Nido Juliet. Nido Juliet. And the male version is Nido Romeo. So yeah, Nido Juliet, Nido Romeo, Nido Jasmine, Nido Aladdin for the male and female, and the Nido King and Nido Queen, because I accidentally transferred my Nido Queen. That was what did I name it? It was another love story. Like, I can't remember what I called it. I can't remember. Oh, yes. Nido Khaleesi. Because Khaleesi, the mother of dragons, the queen of Game of Thrones. And my Nido King will be Nido Khal Drogo. Because he was Khaleesi's wife. Husband. Oh, my God. My head is out, gang. I'm only on 35. Good Lord. We'll see how far we get. Might not do all of them. Teferi. Oh my god, that's my phone, my tablet, everything falling apart. So is my life. Teferi. Pipi in Japanese. Oh, let's find out why. Pipi. Teferi is a combination of clef, as in musical key clef, as in. Yeah, and fairy. Yep. PP is shortened for repetition. Shortening and repetition of pixie. Okay. I don't know how that one was derived, man. Japanese sometimes can be very scary. Alright, clefable. Clefable. I like to call it clefable. Pixie in Japanese. Obviously, as in a pixie. Clefable is clef, and fable as in a story. Maybe derived from Abel, considering his sharp hearing and ability to skip on water. Jesus, literally. Vulpix. Roko is a Japanese word for that. Okay, so my Clefable is called Honey Boo Boo, because of Honey Boo Boo Child. Vulpix is Volps, Latin for fox, Volpes, Latin for fox, and six, as in has six tails. Roko is Roku, six, Kon is Grudge from the curse nine tails, its evolution may cast on its foe. Kon Kon is the sound a fox makes. Konro is a gaster, as in, because it's a fire Pokemon. Oko. Oko is an alternative reading for Kitsune, which is fox. Wow! Impressive. Impressive. Let's have a look at Ninetales. Ninetales, obviously based from the mythological creature that had the same amount of tails. It's a fox demon in Japanese folklore. Right, Ninetales, let's see if they say the same thing. Ninetales is a combination of nine and tails, which in itself combines tales and fairy tales from the Japanese myth. It's also a reference to Cat on Nine Tails Whip, which is historically used in military punishments. Wow. Kyokon is the Japanese word, the Japanese name. Kyukon. Sorry, I read that wrong. I read like Kyo. No, Q is a nine. Kon is in the grudge from the 90s. Konkon, foxes, Konkoro, Konro, Ko, blah blah blah. We went through this. Kyukon can be read as old grudge. Interesting. Interesting. I have a Vulpix. I didn't change the name yet. I'm still working on that. Yeah. Cool. Cricklypuff. Japanese name? Purin. Jigglypuff is a combination of Jiggly and Puff because of its wobbly shape. Purin is referring to the Pokemon's soft body, and it's a corruption of Fusen, which is balloon, and Fukureru, which is to expand or inflate. Alright. And then Wigglytuff in English and Japanese is Pukurin. Wigglytuff, obviously, it's wiggly and tough. Pukurin is a form of puri puri, which is to huff, and kuri kuri, to be big and round, and also from puku puku, as in cute and chubby or puffed up. It's a corruption of puri, which is pudding, and also a combination of fusen and fukureru, which is to fusen being balloon and fukureru to expand or inflate. Japanese, man, the pun game is so strong, so strong. Zubat, I called mine, I can't remember what I called my original Zubat, because I've already transferred it, and my gold bat, the evolution, I called it, the Dark Knight, or Dark Knight, because bats are usually seen at night, and also Batman. That's where my pun comes from. Alright, so Zubat is a pun from bat and Zubato. This is an onomatopoeia for an edge tool forcibly piercing something, which is referring to the fangs, or the sound a bat makes. Fantastic. Alright, I'm going to do one more. Then I'm going to talk about my app. Golbat. Japanese Golbat. Kobato. Gorubato. Alright, go back. May originate from the word gallop, gollop, which means to eat or drink, eat quickly or greedily, and bat. Okay. Alright, cool. That's enough of the Pokemon nomenclature. Might do this again. I might do the rest from Golbat onwards. Yeah, that's 42, so that's not bad. That's not bad. Alright. Quickly, before I go, I just want to show you. Alright, cool. Nearly there. Barely. Superman. Right. So, my app is essentially a Facebook bot that I built. It's quasi-artificial intelligence, and by that I mean, so to just get added, all you need to do is go to the Facebook page and go to Barely Superman, and then send it a message, and then I'll add you to the beta program, and then you can use it. So the way it works, you can say hi, and it will respond back with thanks for messages on us, so we'll try to be as responsive as possible. This is so that it can initiate a session with your account and my bot. Then this is also to just give you a heads up that I've seen it, see the message, and then my bot will eventually respond. So, hi, you good? And I'm going to respond that I'm good. Exclamation mark. So I've sent back I'm good, and what I don't know what it will respond to, because cool. I said I, and then the emoji with the hearts in its eyes. I love it, essentially. Cool. So in terms of Pokemon and Pokemon Go, I've added a few commands. So if you type in help, it's gonna give you all the information about what it can help you about. So the help, the response that came back is, you can type in commands to see what specific commands you can use. You can ask about what is the latest or current podcast episode, or when the next episode will be. You can also ask about the latest or current blog post. As for updates, I'll inform you about any new updates. So if you click and if you write an update, it will give you the latest update and what's changed in the version of that bot. And the bot's name is Jarvis. As homage to Jarvis from Iron Man, aka Tony Stark's Jarvis. 16:08:16 fixed the Pokemon in collection queries and added the map function with Pogo Map. So, for typing commands, whoop, spelling mistake. This is actually a good one. So if I write a command, it would I spelled it wrong. So it will respond back with, I'm not ready for complex things like commons, but feel free to ask me about the podcast or what episode we're at. That's the common response when you type in something that it doesn't understand. Commands. Here we go. Alright, so I typed in commands, and it's at video for YouTube channels, at blog for blogs, at podcast for podcasts, at Dex for the latest Pokemon core, everything for a snapshot of everything, and Pogo Map that's recently added for the Pokemon map. Now, because of this is Pokemon related, I'll only do the Pokemon commands for this episode, but I might have a dedicated episode for all the commands for this particular app. So, Dex. If you type in at Dex, for the shortened for Pokedex, or Dexter, as in the really smart Dexter's Laboratory, it will show you that it will show you the Pokemons that I've caught. So if you type in at Dex, and you, it will show you my latest Pokemon, which is Omanyte, and I've currently caught 108 Pokemon. So if you open on the web, it will take you to the Tumblr page that has all of the Pokemon that I've caught. So that's one way of doing that. With all the names that I've called Jesse. It was called Jesse originally, but it changed to Jay, obviously. And then Ivysaur, like that kind of thing. So, that's what Dex is all about. You can also intelligently ask it about the Pokemon I've caught. So, let's use Barely Superman. Barely Superman. Have a does Batley Superman have a I don't know doo-doo-o question mark. Does Batley Superman have a doo-doo-o? That's the question I sent down to you, Zabot, aka Jarvis. I'm gonna call it Jarvis or Jay from now on. So, yes, the response was, assuming you're talking about Pokemon Go, then yes, doo-doo-o is Pokemon Court Index number 65, which is fantastic. So, but for the lazy, that don't want to type in a fully formed sentence, you can just say, Pokemon, Gyarados. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's capital or also doesn't, you don't need to put a question mark, but it obviously makes sense to put a question mark. Intelligently realizes whether it's a question or question, not a question or question mark. So, Pokemon Gyarados, and that should give you Gyarados, or Gyarados, as I like to call it, my Jamaican Pokemon. Yeah, so assuming you're talking about Pokemon Go, then yes, Gyarados is Pokemon Core Index number 103. So a good way to just find, like, rather than trolling through the list of the Pokédex entries, you can just ask it for a specific Pokemon just to see how well you're doing against my version of Pokemon. So let's ask it for a Pokemon that I don't have. What don't I have? Omastar. Do I have Omastar? No, I don't. So, it should say no. It's blunt, like that. No, I don't have one. I don't have an Omastar. It sucks, I know. So yeah, that is that search function. So that's really nice. It took a while to implement, but it's there, and I'm so happy. So what were the other commands? Let's type in commands. Oh, yes, Pokemap. That's the last version. That's the last Pokemon-dedicated aspect. So if I put Pokemap, I think that is the command. I can always check by pressing command and checking again. It would give you a Google link that will open a modified version of Google Maps, and this is effectively my Pokemon diary. So when you look at the it's separated into a few categories: wild captures, lure modules, scene, nests, and gyms that I've taken over. So if you zoom in, you can see that I caught a Mankey there and a Vaporeon at that point, and then there was a few Pokemon I caught, and like a Meowth, a Gengar, a Nidorino, Abra, and then I've added the places where I've taken over a gym. So when you click on that and click on Winchester City Mill, I also insert the photo of the Pokemon that I captured, just so that it's kind of like me taking over the land, and I feel like Christopher Columbus. It's a nice feeling to have. So let's go back to the maps. Go back into the maps. So right now, I don't know why I may have accidentally set it to open in Winchester, but yes. Yeah, so I've also added nests. So when you click on the nest, for example, you can see that in Holland Park, that's a Bulbasaur nest. So this is a really handy map to have if you're having trouble finding the Pokemon that you need. I've included all the handy maps and nests of the locations where you can find the Pokemon. So if you ever do want to go Pokemon hunting, just get that Barely Superman bot loaded up onto your Facebook Messenger, just hit up the nests and see where that takes you. Well, and for that, I mean, that's pretty much it from my part. I've not really got much more to add about the app itself. I have other features that you can do with the app, but that is for a dedicated app episode. But yeah, no, this is where I am in regards to things, and this is how I've been keeping myself motivated. And I've added a few links in the description below in the video, and I will shortly add the description in the audio version. And yeah, no, that's pretty much it. So that is that for me. So I mean, this is literally how I've been documenting my coordinates. I just literally write down the coordinates of where I capture them, and then I push them forward. That is literally how I do it. So yeah, that's great. And yeah, it's been really fun trying to find new ways to actually keep myself entertained while playing Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go as an app in itself is not very entertaining, but it's the things that you do to keep yourself entertained that really matter, and that applies to anything in life. So with that being said, it was fun, and as you can see, this is the realm of infinite possibilities, and it's been fun doing this. I really want to go through the other Pokemon, but it's been so good. I didn't get that Mr. Mime, but I already have one, so it's all good. But you saw it. Mr. Mime was on my list live on this live stream. It's so good. So good. All right. Anyway, I'm out. Peace out. What up? Take care. See you later.